Good morning, church. Y'all are with it this morning. It is Pentecost Sunday. This is the Sunday, really, I'll tell you the truth, we don't celebrate it like we should. It should be Easter-level type celebration, Pentecost Sunday should be. I'm thankful for our denomination. Our denomination has put a little more of a focus on Pentecost versus what they've done in the past. And one of the things they're doing, and you'll hear a little bit more about it later from Pastor Lisa during the announcements, but they're having a special online service where the whole denomination is coming together, invited to come together to watch online, to pray together, to worship together. They already aired one of those gatherings that was this morning at 7 a.m., and I tuned in for maybe 2 minutes of it. And based off what I could tell, it was kind of they would have someone speak, and this would be Wesleyan leaders and pastors and lay people like you from Africa, from all over the world. They would come on and speak for maybe a few minutes, and then there'd be a time of specific prayer, a time where they ask you to pray for something specific. And from what I understand, it's about God sending us, how the Holy Spirit indwells in us and gifts us with these spiritual gifts to send us out into the world. And so I want to encourage you to watch that this evening. It starts at 7 p.m. I posted in our Cornerstone group page the link. We'll post it on our Cornerstone from our Cornerstone page today. I want to encourage you to get on that tonight at 7 p.m. I think it's going to be a great time together. Today I'm teaching a little bit different sermon than I normally would. This sermon is going to go with next week's sermon, and they're going to complement one another, really, in ways. What I'm doing today is I'm using one of Jesus's techniques with teaching. Jesus would use stories from everyday life to communicate spiritual truths to his listeners. The listeners would be able to understand it better because they could relate it to something they were going through. They had been through or something they experienced in the world. And so that's the method I am using today. I'm basically going to tell a story. And it's a true story. And it's the story of me and Sarah adopting a dog. I'm calling today's sermon Man's Best Friend. That's traditionally what a dog is called, is man's best friend. There's no points to today's message. I have points in here, but they will not be on the screen. So you write down, if you're taking notes, you write down whatever God leads you to write down, whatever God's speaking to you. So I want to share with you what God has shared with me through our new dog, and we named him Max, not after your grandson. they have a grandson named Max, but we named him Max because he just looks like a Max, just to be honest with you. So here's a picture of him. I got 9 pictures, so be prepared for puppy overload. That's Max. We're not necessarily sure what he is exactly. I think he's probably maybe a shepherd mix with golden retriever. That's what I'm thinking. But I'm gonna talk to you about what God communicated to me through us adopting and rescuing Max. Because that whole weekend, that first weekend that we had him, I was emotional, just to be honest with you. Because I could relate what God's love for us is like to the love that we had showed to Max. So I'm going to go through Max's story, and I'm going to stop at various points to communicate a spiritual truth. So Max, this was a month ago, this past Friday. We have cameras around the church, and me and Bernard have access to those cameras on our phone. We get motion alerts. So if you're sneaking around the church, we're going to see you. But we get motion alerts. So Friday morning at 8 o'clock, we get a motion alert, and there's a dog walking around the church. And I just thought nothing of it. I said, all right, that's just a stray dog, probably a neighbor's dog, somebody's dog around here. He'll go back home. We have church tonight. He probably won't be there. He showed back up on the cameras again at 8:30, just tripped the camera. So, we saw him again. He was just walking around. But he would stop over here at the back kitchen and looking in the window. He obviously, the window's too high, but he would look up because he knew a window was there. And I wonder if he wasn't thirsty for water or something, but you could hear him whimpering. He was obviously lost. He obviously was alone, and he was scared. I know he was scared because a couple of people saw him that day when they were coming by the church, and he would bark at them, growl at them, And that's not the dog we have now. I mean, he just shakes his whole butt when someone comes up. Not just the tail, it's the whole butt. Yes, I just said butt during the sermon. That's not the dog we have now, but he was scared. So everybody was an enemy. Everybody was, he was suspicious of everybody. So he was acting out in a way that he normally would. Well, I didn't think nothing of it. I was thinking by Friday night, he's not going to be here. So Friday, the youth get here first. Caleb and the youth get here first. And so I get this picture at about 6 o'clock. Little Max curled up at our mailbox just a few feet from the road. Scared, still scared, worn down, tired. What ended up happening is Caleb ended up carrying him over to the playground area and laid him down there, and we ended up getting him some water. Caitlin ended up bringing some food. He was cold. He stayed curled up like that. It was a little bit chilly that night, and so we ended up putting blankets on him. He was still here, but you could tell this dog was not taken care of. You could tell this dog was tired, and he was just simply worn out. Someone didn't think very much of this dog. We think we have a car on camera on Thursday night at 10:30 that did not look like a cop car. Cop cars come through here all the time, but did not look like a cop car, and we wonder if that person dropped Max off that night. And he hung out maybe back here or somewhere and until the morning, and then started stirring in the morning. The church was definitely his home base at the time. But this dog, we could tell he had ticks on him. He was just not in good shape. And it hurts me to think that someone thought this dog was so worthless. This dog was so in love that someone just threw him out. Yeah, that's exactly what it's like for us when we are living in the world separate from God. I can tell you right now, the prince of this world, Satan, he don't care a bit about you. He thinks you're worthless, and he'll tell you, you're worthless, you're in love, no one cares about you, and we are just like Max. We are lost, lonely, and scared. People are scared from COVID, and you know, they're scared about other things as well, but COVID, we have seen it. People that are in the world, not in a relationship with God, they have every right to be scared. Because if they died that day, if they die from COVID, if they die from this virus, they're headed to hell. But for us, we have nothing to fear because we have a relationship with God. But you see people act in the ways that they act because they are scared, because they are lonely. They're craving. We are created with this desire to have a relationship with God. And because we don't have that relationship with God, we are lonely. And you see, if you look at the stats on depression and suicide and all this, it's not good. I can tell you that. It's because we have this longing in our heart for a relationship with God, but because we don't have a relationship with God, we are going around this earth lost. We don't know what direction to head in. People have no purpose. People have no direction. They're lost, lonely, and scared. And just like Max was tired, weak, and in desperate need of help, that's a picture of us. When you are all the time not having really in any direction in life, and you're just wandering around, and you're just anxious all the time, you're depressed all the time, you're scared of what's next, you are going to be tired, weak, and in desperate need of help. You're going to be worn out, just like this dog was. There are people in our community right now who are just like Max. Tired, in desperate need of help, weak, lost, lonely, and scared. Some of the people that we met yesterday at Fresh Cuts were in this exact scenario. This is a picture of us. This is a picture of the world. And the church is called to care for those people. The church is called to connect with those people. So going back to the Max example, Caleb and the youth were the first ones to find him. They carried him over to the playground fence. We provided him with food, water, and a blanket. We provided care. God told me this was a picture of the care that the church is called to provide to the people in the world. We are called to meet the needs of people in our community. We are called to actually show real love to those who are not in a relationship with Jesus, to those in our community, those who are hurt, lost, dying, and headed to hell. And so what we say at this church is we do this through outreach. This is what we include in outreach. And it's interesting to me in Matthew chapter 25 when Jesus talks about Judgment Day, he talks about how we're going to be judged. He says, Matthew 25, 34 through 36, he says, "The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.'" So he says here that, and then that story goes on, we're not going to put that up there, but it goes on where we said, well, when do we do that? And he says, well, when you do something for the least of these, you do it for me. When you do it for the people who are hurting and weak and tired in this world, when you take care of them, you are doing that to me, for me, and that's how we're going to be judged. I made a quote, we're going to be judged not just on that, but that's going to be a portion of it, and we don't like talking about that, that we need to actually live out our love for God and others. It's not about the word that we used on Friday, positional holiness. I'm in a right relationship with God. No, it's about practical holiness, living out that. If you truly have a relationship with God and you truly love God, you're going to live that out in love of other people. That's what God is calling us to here. There's going to be people who think they're okay, but they don't have that love for God in their hearts, and they don't love others. That is not what God has called us to. We are called to meet the needs of people in our community. We're called to meet the needs of people in the world, just like we met Max's needs at that time. I made this comment last week, I think. Sometimes people can't see their spiritual needs because of their material needs. The church can provide initial care that provides them their material needs so that maybe they can get connected and introduced to God and have a relationship with Him. Here's what could have happened Friday night, and the whole chain of events would have been different. Caleb and the youth could have just left that dog out there. And he could have seen cars started pulling in, and he could have said, okay, I need to leave. There's too much commotion here. And he could have went on up the road. He could have went up here to the road and got hit by a car and died that night. That night. But instead, because they provided care for him, it's cool that they brought him to, whoever dropped him off or however he got here, he came to a church. And Caleb and them brought him into the church, you could say, and provided that initial care. Because of that, guess what? When me and my wife get here, I can't get Sarah away from that dog. We're starting table gathering at 7 o'clock, and gets to 7:01, it gets to 7:02, 7:03. Do you think my wife's over here yet? Nope. So I go over there, and I just give her the look. Yep, men have looks too. Some of you have received that look from me before. I gave her the look, and she says, "I'm coming." I had a feeling we might take that dog home that night. But if Caleb and them never brought him in, never provided him that initial care, that dog could have ran on and could have died. But because they did, they connected him with a home. We have people in this world that if we're not connecting with them, people in our community that we're not connecting with them, we're not providing that care when God gives us the opportunity, they could go right out here and they could die on the same road that Max could have died in. And they could be headed to hell. When God puts an opportunity before us, we need to show the love that we are called to show. So that night, I was checking with some other people, make sure they didn't want them, and we ended up taking him home that night and adopting him as our newest dog. Turns out, after we take him to the doctor and whatever, he's definitely rescued. Finding out what bad a shape he was truly in, and you're going to hear a little bit about that later. He was not treated well by his previous owners. We rescued him. We adopted him. we've provided them with a home. That's exactly what God does for us. We're just like this lost, lonely dog wandering this world, and God says, come here. He rescues us. Colossians 1:13, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. We have no power to get out of this kingdom of darkness ourselves. We couldn't do it. And he didn't have to, but he chose to. He literally rescued us. But not only does he rescue us, not only does he say, okay, you can come live here, but he adopts us. John opens up his gospel in John chapter 1, verse 12, by saying this, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Romans 8, Paul says this, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption. He adopts us to sonship, to daughtership. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. We now have a heavenly Father. We were lost, lonely, and scared, and without a home. But he has provided us with a home. He has provided us with a family. He has adopted us as his very own children. We are adopted sons and daughters of God. And when I talk about providing us with a home, I'm not talking about a house. I'm talking about a family. I'm talking about a home base. Ephesians 2:19 says this, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. He provides us with a family, with him as the Father. He rescues us, and we're all rescued because we were all in the same situation. We're all rescues. And he takes us in, provides us a family where we belong. And I'm a real believer that dogs are pretty smart. We have a German Shepherd, and you're about to see her. We have a German Shepherd, and she is smart. And so far, he's been pretty smart. Goofy, but smart. But we got him in the truck. We drove the truck that night. And the rest of the pictures just excuse our mess that you see. Sarah said, yes, please. We got him in the truck, and we laid him in the floorboard, and he was so weak, he wouldn't hardly stand over here. I mean, just tired. And kind of defensive, but he was so tired he wouldn't even really fight you. And so I picked him up in the blanket, and I carried him like a baby. Carried him through this church, through the fellowship hall, and into the truck, and I laid him down. And we were driving home. Well, actually, as soon as we got him in the truck, he stands up. And here's a picture of him standing up. That was the first time I saw him stand up like that. He stood up, and he gave that little, you know, cute little face there, little eyes. That's the picture I sent to Mom. I said, guess what we just did? I think she thought we was having a baby, but there's a different type of baby. But he immediately started to come into life. And so I'm driving, and we have the console there. Really, it's a seat, and I had my elbow there, and all of a sudden, I feel something touching my elbow. This little dog, I'm going to put the next picture up, put his little head, and just was licking me. I think he knew he found a home. And you know, when I get teary-eyed thinking how God provides us with a home just like that. And how often do we not respond, the dog responds better than we do. We should be so grateful. We should be so grateful. When I saw how he came to life, and this all didn't come to me when it was all happening, but the more I thought about it, the more I just kept seeing parallels to our relationship with God. We got him in the truck. He immediately knew, I think, that he found a home, that he found a family, and he immediately begin to come to life in ways that we had not seen the rest of the day. That was a picture of what happens for us at justification, at salvation. We immediately receive new life because we have entered into a relationship with God. John 5:21, just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, Even so, the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. We don't see this all the time play out in our relationship with God or when we start in our relationship with God, but we come to life spiritually. We call that actually initial sanctification. You go from being dead in your sin, dead in your transgressions, dead in your flesh to becoming alive in Jesus. You receive, you are raised to life, and you immediately begin to change. We saw an immediate change in this dog as soon as we got him in that truck. As soon as we provided him with a home, as soon as he knew that he was going to have a family that he belonged to, a family that actually loved him, a family that's not going to throw him out. And he showed gratitude to me. He showed gratitude to us. Psalm 136:1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." You know, I think that right after salvation, that's probably when we are most thankful. But we need to remember that because his love endures forever. We need to always be thankful, always be grateful. That's why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances." Give thanks when things are rough. Give thanks when he is disciplining you. Give thanks when things are not going good. Give thanks when things are going good. Give thanks 20 years after salvation. Give thanks 30 years after salvation because he is still good. He is still deserving of that. When he showed that gratitude, that gratefulness, and I can guarantee you right now if I go home, that dog's going to be shaking his butt, coming right up to me, licking me, jumping on all fours. I mean, he gets off all fours and he is so grateful that we have provided him with a home. And how often do we forget that God has provided us with a home? We were lost and wandering in this dark and lonely world. We were slaves to sin. We were powerless against the evil one. And God rescues us and takes us in. He's deserving of praise and worship and gratitude every day. Not just that salvation. We took Max in and we provided him with a new identity. We named him Max. It took a few days to think about that, but even that night I said, "This looks like a Max." Max went from being a lost dog without a home with no name to Nathan and Sarah's new dog named Max. We gave him identity. That's exactly what happens when we come to faith in Jesus. He provides us with identity. We are children of God. We are children of the Most High. We go from being lost and without a home to being God's child. And part of that new identity, part of belonging to the family of God, part of belonging to the household of God, and this was something that I added this morning because I think someone needs to hear it. It means that God's going to provide you with everything you need. We provide that dog with water. He don't have to worry about where his next food's going to come from. He knows where we keep it, so he goes in there sometimes and tries to get it, but he don't have to worry about that anymore. He don't have to worry about where the water's going to come from. He's not going to have to worry about the ticks that we found on him. He's not going to have to worry about the fleas because we're going to provide for every need. And God does the same thing for us. I don't have the scripture since I added it this morning, but he tells us not to worry. If God feeds these animals, if God feeds the flowers, God is going to feed his children. Because he values us, he cares about us. And so as we provide Max's needs, God's going to provide our needs. That's part of your identity. Knowing that you are a child of God, God's not going to let his child go hungry. God's not going to let his child, he's going to provide every need according to his power, according to his riches in Christ Jesus is what Paul said. We can have confidence in that as God's children. So whatever you need today, know that God's going to provide it. And while me and Max can't communicate with one another, I'm not that close to dogs. I can tell when he needs to use the bathroom, but, you know, that's because he is antsy. I don't know when he's hungry necessarily, other than all the time. But I don't necessarily know when he's hungry, but we have a Heavenly Father we can talk to. We have a Heavenly Father that we can ask for our needs to be filled. We can tell God what we need, even though he already knows. We have a God that we can communicate with, and that goes back to last week's sermon. So we got Max home Friday night. He met our German Shepherd, 85-pound German Shepherd named Zoe. I'm going to put that picture up. Initially, he growled at her because he said, "Are you friend or foe?" And she was just intrigued. She said, "What's this little thing?" And she did really good with him, and he's done really good with her. So he met his new sister, and they play together. They're funny playing together because she's so big and he's so small. So last night I was sitting outside, and she would just run towards him, and before she even get to him, he'd fall down, and she'd just run right over him. And they did that about five or six times, and his little ears go back. They're having fun. I'm looking forward to when he gets bigger and is able to actually fight her a little bit, because right now she's dominating. But we let him sleep in the garage that night. We was going to take him to the vet the next morning. We took him to the vet next morning. They couldn't see him, but they did check for a chip, which I'm glad there was no chip, because he did not need to go back to whoever owned him beforehand, because he was not taken care of. They looked, this the front desk lady looked at his lips and his tongues, and he was anemic. He was pale. And at the time, I didn't realize how bad the situation really was. We got him home that morning, and got him home that morning after taking him to the vet, and I'm going to have to rework my outline a little bit, but we got him in the garage, and we knew he had ticks on him, and we didn't know he had fleas at the time, but he definitely had fleas. But we started to pick the ticks off, and I was thinking, man, he has a lot of ticks on him, but I was thinking 15, you know. So I'm working on his ears, taking the ticks off his ears. He's fighting me. He does not want, he had to be in pain. He did not want to dig those ticks off. He did not want to sit down long enough. He was still weak. He was still lethargic. But he still had enough fight in him that morning to fight me off. And so I told Sarah, I said, go get him a tick and flea bath. We're just going to have to give him a bath, and hopefully that will kill him. Turns out later on that evening, he's so worn out from the day before, so tired, that he ended up just laying down in my lap and letting me spend, I probably spent 2 to 3 hours that day taking off 75 ticks off of this puppy. Every single one of these ticks sucking the blood out of him. The fleas sucking the blood out of him. Literally sucking the life out of him. And God said, you know, people have ticks too. We have sin that sucks the life out of us. And the same process that I went through with Max is the same process that God goes through with us. We have this sin in our life that is literally sucking the life out of us. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. When you sin, you are inviting death and destruction into your life. You are inviting when I say death and destruction, I'm not saying you're going to die right at that moment, but if you died right at that moment, you're going to experience eternal death. But I'm saying that you're inviting this darkness into your life, and you're not experiencing the life that God desires for us to have. God came to give life. Sin brings death. So we have this range of what we can experience. Can we experience more life, or are we going to experience more death? And so sin, when we're allowing this sin into our life, it's sucking the life out of us. It's sucking the spiritual life out of us. It's preventing us from living the life that God desires for us. And so I was ready to give Max that tick bath when he was fighting me, and so we gave him the tick bath, and the tick bath, God told me, represented being washed in the blood. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us settle this matter. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. How do they get as white as snow? Because he washes us in the blood of Jesus. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin, cleanses us from all sin. So we gave him this bath, and I don't know if you know much about tick and flea bath, but basically it just kills the ticks. It destroyed the ticks' power to suck the life out of Max. I could preach this. When we are washed in the blood at salvation, Paul tells us that we are no longer slaves. He said, we know in Romans 6:6, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power. That tick bath lost cause those ticks to lose their power to suck the life out of little Max. He says, we're no longer slaves to sin. Romans 6:7, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of those ticks to suck the life out of us. Romans 6:11, so you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Those, when we are at salvation, when we come to faith in Jesus, He washes us with that blood, and that sin no longer has any power over our lives. It does not have the ability to suck the life out of us anymore unless we allow it to. Unless we allow it to stay stuck to us. Unless we allow it to live and thrive in our life. And so I spend hours taking those ticks off of Max, just as God spends time picking the sin off of us. Even after we gave them the bath, guess what? They're still stuck on there. Just like maybe sin no longer has any power over you, but it's still sticking to you. Some of those ticks were surface level. I could pull them off with my fingers. There's some sin at salvation that is surface level. It's not hard to give it up. Some of them were deep. They've been in there a long time. And it took some digging with those needles to get them out. Sometimes God has to dig. Sometimes there's some addictions. Sometimes there's some these deep sins in our life that God has to dig in there to pull it out. It takes time. Max fought me that morning. We often fight God, don't we? He fought me that morning. But that evening, he had completely surrendered. And I only known the little guy for less than 24 hours, but he already trusted me. Trusted me enough that while I'm digging in his skin, pulling these ticks off, and you know, some sin's going to leave scars, just like some of those ticks left scars. They're no longer there, but the consequences are. He allowed me to dig in his skin. He had, I think, probably 30 or 40 in his ears. I mean, it was ridiculous. He allowed me to dig in his skin, dig deep in there. Meanwhile, he's asleep the entire time. Part of that's because he's so worn out from the whatever the last 24, 48 hours had for him. But for that dog who I just met less than 24 hours ago to already trust me enough to allow me to dig in his skin to the point that he sleeps, that's the type of relationship we should have with God. Because see, God does the picking. Max had no power in himself really to take those ticks off. You have no power in yourselves to take the ticks off. You have no power in yourself to take the sin off. It is God who does the picking off. That's why Paul prays in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you or make you holy through and through. It is God who does the picking off. It's the God who has the tweezers. The word of God is the tweezers. It's God who has the tweezers. It's God who has taken them off. It's God who is going to set you free from the power of sin and gradually take those ticks off. But how often are we just like Max fighting? God's just trying to help us, but we're fighting him. We want to keep the sin in our life. We don't want him to be messing around on us. We're happy with the way we are. That's all Max knew at that point in his life. Was, this must be what dog life is like. To have ticks, 75 ticks all over your body sucking the life out of you. And you're barely making it through because you're so anemic. That's just like us. We're fighting God off. God is trying to pick those ticks off. He's trying to take that sin out of our life, and we're fighting them. Yeah. We're saying, God, no, I want to keep this. No, I don't want to lay down. God, I don't want to surrender. But Max, he fully surrendered at some point, and we call that entire sanctification here in the Wesleyan Church. That is what God calls us to fully surrender ourselves, to trust him to get them all off. To say, God, I want to trust you. I want to surrender my life to you. I want you to work in my life. I love you and I trust you enough that I want you to pick everything off. We need to fall asleep in the arms of Jesus, letting him take them off. He will sanctify you through and through if you allow him to. Stop settling for leaving 20 ticks on yourself. Stop settling for leaving one tick on yourself. Let God take every tick off. He's broken the power of all those ticks, and sometimes you're allowing them to still have power of you. He's broken the power of that, and now he wants to take them off so that you don't have to deal with them anymore. We have to be willing and trusting, and if we are, if we put ourselves, surrender completely to God and allow him to do his work, he will sanctify us through and through. Let's talk about what the sanctified life is like. Guess what? I found a tick on Max the other day. But I have this little pill that I give him every month. NexGard, I think, was the last one. This one's a little bit different. But I give him that pill. And you know what that pill does? Destroys the power of the ticks to suck the life out of him. So this tick was dead. I was just petting him, and it came right off. This tick was dead because it tried sucking the life out of Max. And as soon as he got a taste of that blood, boom. That's what the sanctified life is like. You might still have some ticks on you every now and then, but they're dead. They don't have no power, and they're just falling off. Listen, we make mistakes every day. That's just part of human nature. We are always going to need to ask for forgiveness from God. But we can be set free from intentional sin, letting those ticks stay on there. I give him, in the position of God, I give him this pill every month, and it breaks the power. God gives us, once and for all, the blood of Jesus that breaks the power of that. And as long as we are in Jesus, it breaks the power of that sin. And it just falls off. It really has no power. In the Wesleyan Church, we say that God can set you free from intentional sin, intentionally doing wrong. Now, does that mean you no longer need the grace and the blood of Jesus? No. You still need it because you make mistakes every day. But it's not like you're caving into sin and saying, "All right, sin, I'm obeying you." No, God's become your master. So I found that tick. That tick came off. We still make mistakes. We're still in need of the love of Jesus. But we are dead to sin. And we desire to follow Christ completely. So let's talk about Max and Zoe. Zoe's in the position of the church. Here's Max, this new member of the household of Nathan and Sarah. New member of the Kaiser household. And Zoe, who is the established member, 3 years out now. Zoe has been great leading him around and showing him basically a routine. We have routines. Dog have routines. She has done a great job. So wherever she goes, he goes. And sometimes she leads them astray, like barking at Sarah's vehicle that was parked there all night last night. This morning, all of a sudden, she starts barking, and then he goes crazy because he thinks someone's here. So then he has to go outside, and then he realizes that it's a car that's been there since yesterday. But they've become good friends. So here's some pictures. This is him on the bed. That's not a great picture. Well, I like the picture. It's just hard for you to see. But there they are on the bed laying together. Show the next one. They're turned their backs towards one another, but still, and Max showing his little face, going to the next one. There they are going down to see Mom and Dad last Saturday, a couple Saturdays ago. And then sometimes, little brothers, siblings, fellow church members can be a little irritating like this. She handled it like a champ, though, because she could just stand up and he'd be flying in midair. But he just laid on her. He said, "You're going to be my pillow." And I have other pictures of him using her as a pillow. But she has done great. They fall at times, yes. But she has done great. For the most part, she has shown Max what it is like to live in our house. And shouldn't we be doing that for other people? Shouldn't we be showing other people what it's like to be a member of the household of God? That's our mission, is to make disciples. So we need to be making disciples through these relationships that we have with one another. I was reading a book this past week, a leadership book, and there's a study done, and the study basically said teaching doesn't really stick with people like showing them what to do and walk with them through it does. I think that our discipleship models need to move away from teaching all the time to actually showing, to actually walking with them through life. And we do that best through relationships. This was the model that Jesus used. He has a relationship with his 12 disciples and even more than that, 72 disciples. And so he would teach, yes, we shouldn't throw teaching completely out. But then he would show them what to do, and then he would send them out to do the same thing. That's the discipleship model that we need to follow. Jesus walked with them daily just like Zoe's forced to walk with him daily. We need to be walking with other people daily. I've heard a comment a lot here recently about one of the things people like about our church is that there are relationships that go past our gatherings. And if you're not in a relationship that goes past our gatherings, then maybe you need to start getting connected to other people. There's relationships that go past our gatherings. Our gatherings, yeah, our gatherings are good. We don't need to do away with our gatherings. But one of the purposes of those gatherings is to get us together so that there are relationships that form off of that. Everyday relationships. I'm not saying you have to be together every day, texting one another, calling one another, being in regular communication with one another. I have multiple relationships like that where I am talking to people at least once or twice a week, checking in on them, seeing how they're doing. And then one of the things I love about Zoe and Max is that they miss one another when they're separated. So I don't trust them yet. He chewed through my computer charger last Sunday, so I don't trust him yet. So he's currently in our garage in his crate. Zoe's outside. Now, normally when we get home, Zoe's excited to see us. You know who she's more excited to see now? Max. Their family. They love being with one another. They love one another. They want to be together. And that's something we don't do enough here in terms of viewing one another as family. Mark 3, 31 through 35. This is Jesus. Someone came to Jesus and said that your mother and your brothers have arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone to call him in. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. He said, who are my mother and my brothers? He asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him, and he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Now, some would say that Jesus basically disowned his family there. No, he didn't. He just equated God's family with his actual family. So often we celebrate our actual family from being with the church, being with God's family, when you can be together because we're all part of the family of God. We should love one another as family. We should care about one another as family. We should love being with one another. Now, I had a whole section here about discipline, and I took it out because that's going to be next week's. Max is still a puppy. He still does puppy things, and he gets disciplined. But why does he get disciplined? For example, when he gets near the yard, near the end of the yard, going up towards the road, I yell at him. Why is that? Because I care about him. I don't want him to go out on that road and get hit. Now, we live in a cul-de-sac, thankfully, so the chance of that is pretty low, but I care about him. God disciplines us because he cares about us. We'll cover that next week. Here's one that I really want to focus on Pentecost Sunday. Max weighed, well, by Tuesday, so about 4 days later, he weighed 23 pounds. If he is a German Shepherd Golden Retriever mix, Golden Retriever's the smaller dog, they think he's 11 months old. A Golden Retriever at 11 months old should be 60-something pounds. So Max is about a third of the weight that he probably should be. That tells me how malnourished he is. That tells me how bad of a shape, how bad the people were taking care of him beforehand. And in 3 weeks, took him to the doctor this past Monday, he's gained 13 pounds. So he's going to be a big dog. He's gained half his body weight. He's shooting up. He's growing every day. And he's come to life. We're seeing a totally different pup almost every day. More energetic, more playful, because he's come to life. And that made me think about the Holy Spirit coming in the lives of believers, how we come to life. He gives us power. Acts 1:8, Jesus says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We're seeing the real Max come out every day because he is gaining strength. He is gaining vitamins, minerals that he needs. He's growing. And what a picture of what should happen with the church. We should always be growing in our relationship with God. We should always be growing, becoming more and more to life every day, because we have the Spirit who is empowering us as believers and has given us a mission to make disciples. So on this Pentecost Sunday, hope this message served as a reminder of God's love for you. My sermon title was Man's Best Friend. But God used what the world considers to be man's best friend to show me who man's best friend really is. It's God. He is the best friend, the best father that you could ever have. And He loves you and He cares about you. And so on this Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit actually serves as a reminder and promise of God's love. We're told in 2 Corinthians 1:21-22, it is God who establishes both us and you in Christ. He anointed us and placed His seal. Now that is the Holy Spirit, is that seal on us. It's that He put this Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit on our hearts as a pledge, as a promise of what is to come. So knowing that we have the Spirit in us, that lets us know that we belong to God, that we are children of the Most High, just like a dog collar would do for Max, would tell whoever saw him that he belonged to us. In fact, Paul said in Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we belong to Him. I hope that the Holy Spirit testifies to you today that you are God's child, that we all are God's children. Just as Sarah and I took in this 23-pound, malnourished, tick and flea-infested pup that someone thought was worthless enough to throw out, God takes us in. Unloved. The devil tells us we're worthless, that no one cares about us and no one will. And God says, come here, child. Come and be a part of my family. I'll be your father. I will love you and I will take care of you and I'll provide for your needs. He rescues us and He adopts us as His own. He puts His seal on us so that we know that we belong to Him. So I don't know if there's someone here today who the devil has made believe that God doesn't love you, that God doesn't care about you, that God thinks you're worthless, that no one cares about you, that you are unloved. But I want to tell you today, don't you ever believe it. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. God loves you. And He's rescued us and adopted us. His grace is real. God's love is unending, and His Spirit in our life will give you new life and power every day if you allow Him to. And so we're going to sing. I think it's appropriate for us to sing Amazing Grace as we end today. And as we sing, my prayer is that His Spirit will testify to your spirit that you are a child of God. Stand to your feet and let's pray.